Hello, friends. Looks like we are beginning or continuing with Letters on Occult Meditation, page 147. Maybe we're approximately halfway through the book. Program 33, and today is the 20th of September 2020. We've been talking about form in meditation, and how these forms built can be a bridge into higher states of consciousness. We're also speaking of the form which is used by the aspirational devotional type of individual, where the master is pictured in the heart, and as well, we are speaking of forms where the individual visualizes himself in an ideal manner. And that is for, let us say, the more mental type of individual. They seem to prefer that particular method. Now we move on to the second discussion, form as used by the occultist and the mystic. The subject of this letter today will interest you, for we are to take up form as used by the occultist and the mystic. In a way, the kind of forms we have discussed, either of the master or of the individual himself, has some connection with the two kinds of forms we are to now discuss. It might be of value for us if we first differentiated with care between the two types. I would begin by a statement of fact. The mystic is not necessarily an occultist, but the occultist embraces the mystic. Maybe another way of saying this in planetary terms is those with an emphasis upon Neptune do not necessarily understand the fullness of what Uranus can bring. But those who have gone as far as Uranian understanding can pretty well embrace that which Neptune gives. Neptune is the mystic and Uranus is the occultist. Mysticism is but one step on the path of occultism. In this solar system, the system of love in activity, and why would that be? You know, that's not what I want, is it? That's something else. Sometimes one has to see what one has in store with that control V button. Okay, mysticism is but one step, and this is the system of love in activity. The activity system was the last, and it gave way to our system, the love system. The soul ray, let's say, it is really decided and dependent upon the personality ray in this case, because the soul ray does not change the love aspect of the soul. Is definitely always present with regard to our solar logos. So the personality ray of the previous solar system was the third I hypothesize. It was the green system, and the personality ray of the present system is the second. And the soul ray stays the same, the second in both cases. Okay. Right. So, the system of love in activity. It's a lot like our Earth, you know, with its third ray personality and second ray soul. There are some similarities there between our Earth and the previous solar system. The path of least resistance for the majority is that of the mystic, or the path of love and devotion, which is why they usually travel to Sirius on the path, on the way of higher evolution. In the next solar system, the path of least resistance will be that which we now understand as the occult path, and the mystic path will have been trodden. So many of us have to learn to balance the occultist and the mystic within us. Wherein lies the difference between these two types? The mystic deals with the evolving life, and the occultist deals with the form. I guess, of course, the Christ has both, but somehow he is a profound occultist and a profound mystic. But even more, maybe the mystic, because it is the life aspect that is most reachable by him. So here are the contrasts, and good. The mystic deals with the God within, the occultist with the God in outer manifestation, the garment of God, and not necessarily the life of God per se. Although you cannot really say that the garment of God is not the living God. It is. It's just another form of it, but it's not the center of pure being, the one who wears the garment, we might say. The mystic works from the center to the periphery, and the occultist reverses the process. And maybe this is why, you know, the mental occultists, the selfish occultists, strictly mental and without love, work from the outside in. So the selfish brothers work from without to within and impose their way upon the inner life. And they, you know, entrap, we might say, they entrap the true being in a vehicle of impenetrable form. So they put them in prison in that sense. The mystic mounts by aspiration and intensest devotion to the God within or to the master whom he recognizes. The occultist attains by the recognition of the law in operation and by the wielding of the law which binds matter and conforms it to the needs of the indwelling life. And that's something we never find among the Dark Brothers. He cares not for the needs of the indwelling life. And yet he binds them. He enslaves them. There are technical means of enslavement, which probably DK is not going to get into, but it involves trapping the volatile essence, which should be free to pursue its own path on the way of higher evolution. But if the Dark Brother entraps it, a prison is formed. Many of us have a prison, which is signaled by the quality of the moon, or should we say by the decaying tendencies of the moon. So there is a climbing here of the mystic by aspiration and intensest devotion to the God within or to the master, depending on sometimes on the degree of devotion or the degree of orientation towards the other rather than orientation to the inner master. But both of them will do. The occultist attains by the recognition of the law in operation and by the wielding of the law, which binds matter and conforms it to the needs of the indwelling life. And let's just say here, the Dark Brother cares not for the needs of the indwelling life. In this manner, the occultist arrives at those intelligences who work with the law till he attains the fundamental intelligence himself. So these are very useful contrasts, are they not? And, you know, many of us are sort of midway between the two stages. And if we have a certain ray configuration, we are liable to remain as a lord of compassion, such as the Master Jesus, such as the Master Serapis, both of them destined to tread the way to Sirius. The Masters of the Wisdom, per se, have attained already much manas, and they are not, although they have abundant compassion, they are not called the Lords of Compassion. They are called the Masters of the Wisdom. So he goes on in this contrast, contrasting the mystic works through the rays of love, harmony, and devotion, or by the path of the second, fourth, and sixth rays. And that is, as we might expect, the soft the soft line, particularly. The occultist works through the rays of power, activity, and ceremonial law, or the first, the third, and the fifth. Not the fifth, the seventh. And one might wonder, what happened to the fifth? And here he does explain it. Both meet and blend through the development of mind, or through the fifth ray of concrete knowledge, a fragment of cosmic intelligence from the cosmic mental plane. And on this fifth ray, the mystic is resolved into the occultist and works then with all the rays. So we don't hear so much of the occultist being resolved into the mystic, but we do know that without a foundation of mysticism, the occultist may be in danger of too much emphasis upon the form and a certain resultant selfishness and evasion of the law of love. And that is actually what has befallen those who are on the path of darkness, the left-hand path. By finding the kingdom of God within himself, and by studying the laws of his own being, see, and that's important, within himself rather than within the presence of an ideal exemplar who is not himself. In other words, the object of devotion, but instead, the kingdom of God, the immortal deity, immanent, is within. The mystic can find this. By finding the kingdom of God within himself and by the study of the laws of his own being, the mystic becomes proficient in the laws which govern the universe of which he is a part. The occultist recognizes the kingdom of God in nature or the system and regards himself as a small part of the greater whole, and therefore is governed by the same laws. I think it would be good, you know, to make a couple of columns here and offer these kinds of contrasts, just the way DK did as well, when contrasting the sixth ray and the seventh. So by finding the kingdom of God within himself, that's how the mystic comes to the law. And the occultist recognizes the kingdom of God in nature. Let's just say a more detailed and expansive vision or the system, and regards himself as a small part of that greater whole and therefore governed by the same laws. So basically, they both come to the law, and perhaps for the occultist, it is at first the more natural way. There are so many laws given by the Tibetan, who is obviously an occultist, but one feels the depth of his love and devotion to the life principle. One feels his great devotion to Master Kutumi and to the Christ and to the soul of humanity. So he has a more balanced approach. But probably his particular way upon the way of higher evolution will, I make a guess here, not be too serious, because he has an abundance of manas, and those who need the Manus, they go to Sirius for education along that line. But his path, I think, will be different, you know. Is it the Ray path? Many of the Masters of the Wisdom take that path, but there's no way to be assured, and basically it's not our business. Although he did tell us the Christ will at first be taking the Ray path, though eventually finding his way to Sirius. The Buddha was to have taken the Syrian path, but will no longer do so. What will be his approach? Well, those would be interesting items of information. But I think, you know, Master DK is very careful about releasing that kind of information if he knows. You know, it's a question of having the permission to do so. The mystic, as a general rule, works under the department of the world teacher or the Christ, and the occultist more frequently under that of the Manu or ruler. But when both types have passed through the four minor rays in the department of the Lord of Civilization, then a completion of their development may be seen. And the mystic becomes the occultist, and the occultist includes the characteristics of the mystic. Well, these seem to be fairly simple statements, but you know, there are depths here that we may not suspect. So the Bodhisattva, those, you know, they can be extremely intelligent. I mean, think about Master K.H., whose major responsibility right now is leadership in the work of preparation for the reappearance of the Christ. And yet, in a way, he's behind so much of the esoteric school work and education. We do have to remember that there are different approaches to education. The fifth ray, more conventional approach, but maybe the third ray too, but especially the second ray when we're talking about education for the sake of wisdom. So the occult, and this is an interesting idea, when both types have passed through the four major rays, in what way passed through? We have to answer that for ourselves. Those rays, 4, 5, 6, 7, are in the department of the Lord of Civilization. And we're not sure, at least I'm not sure, how and under what circumstances. And we might ask, you will not have soul rays for the same individual, 4, 5, 6, 7. It may go from 6 to 4 to 2, or maybe from 6 to 4 to 3, something like that may be possible. But the rays of attribute are not going to be destinations for each of these types. How and under what circumstances? Are we talking about monadic subtypes? Maybe. Or are we simply saying that that each type will have passed through at least one or two of the rays of attribute. Maybe, we are saying that each type may pass through a ray of attribute in the soul, or maybe more than one ray of attribute, but not through all rays of attribute. At least in the graduation from the rays of attribute to the rays of aspect, DK has never given an example of an individual passing through all four of the rays of attribute. Now, to make it more simple, which at this point we may say, yes, please, to make it more simple for general comprehension, after initiation, the mystic is merged in the occultist, for he has become a student of occult law. And we might say, after which initiation? After which initiation? The third, perhaps? He has to work with matter and its manipulation and uses, and he has to master and control all lower forms of manifestation and learn the rules whereby the building devas work. So, okay, this is then, this is the mystic on the way to becoming the occultist. Before initiation, the mystic path might be expressed by the term probationary path. And that makes sense. So probably we are speaking of the third initiation. Before the occultist can manipulate wisely the matter of the solar system, he must have mastered the laws that govern the microcosm. And even though he is naturally on the occult path, yet he will still have to find the God within his own being, which the mystic has found, before he can wisely venture on the path of occult law. So DK is speaking of mutual balance. And balancing processes. The mystic seeks to work from the emotional to the intuitional, and thence to the monad or spirit, the intuitional being on the fourth plane and the monad on the second. And we say, hence, resonant with each other. The occultist works from the physical to the mental and thence to Atma or spirit. And we want to say that Atma has a close connection via the will with the monad. So one includes the emotional body particularly, and finds his way into the monad. And it looks here like when we see the word spirit, we do mean monad. The occultist works from the physical to the mental, and thence to Atma. And maybe, there's no quite appropriate color here, but I'll use red. From the physical to the mental, and thence to the Atma, or spirit. And here, right above, he says, thence to the monad, or spirit. Well, in any case, monad and Atma are closely related via the will aspect. One works along the line of love, the other along the line of will. Well, that's pretty clear. And there, although there is a blending and a balance along the way, there are predominating tendencies here. And, we have to feel that within ourselves, and we have to be able to identify that in other people. The mystic fails in the purpose of his being, that of love, demonstrated in activity, unless he coordinates the whole through the use of the intelligent will. Therefore, he has to become the occultist. Well, this the information here is so foundational. The mystic fails in the purpose of his being, and that of love demonstrated in activity. That's the mystic's purpose. I'm not sure how to deal with that. But anyway, love demonstrated in activity. What do we have here in the solar plexus? We have the rose and the green. And it's good that he points out how these failures do occur, unless he coordinates the whole through the use of intelligent will. So certainly each has what the other wants and needs. Sometimes we see that when we look at different ashramically related groups and how some from a particular group, which is quite different, come to a group that has much in contrast with them. The first ray types gravitate for certain will infusion purposes to the second ray groups. I've mentioned this, and some second ray types gravitate to the will groups, all for the sake of balance. So therefore, the mystic has to become the occultist. I wonder if there is such a compulsion of the occultist having to become the mystic. All right, so. Now, the occultist similarly fails and becomes only a selfish exponent of power, working through intelligence, kind of first and third ray combination, which can, without love, be so dangerous. Only a selfish exponent of power working through intelligence, unless he finds a purpose for that will and knowledge by an animating love, which will give to him sufficient motive for all that he attempts. So you know, he's warning us about how failures do occur. Maybe some of you have seen that kind of Nazi propaganda film from the early 30s. It was called The Triumph of the Will. And was it, I don't know if I can pronounce that, Leni Riefenschneider, something like that. I may be off a little there, but it's close. It was all will, just all will. And pageantry, seventh ray, ceremonial. But the love quality was missing. It was going to be an overpowering of the lesser races and those who were deemed the enemy. So the occultist similarly fails and becomes only a selfish exponent of power. And the group around Hitler was that, selfish exponents of power. Every one of them, says DK, having had at least the first sub-ray, I think, in their soul ray. A selfish exponent of power working through intelligence. Now, there are some countries right now, and I'm not saying they don't have love, of course they do, but China has the first ray soul and the third ray personality. There's your power intelligence line. We hope that, you know, the Taurus soul brings wisdom and that Libra in the personality can account for some degree of divine love in expression. It looks like Israel too has a very strong one and three, or at least the Jewish group has a very strong one and three, first ray soul and third ray personality again. So it's always this infusion of the second ray which becomes so very important as a modulator between two rays which alone could intelligently overpower the enemy and not consider them as brothers and sisters, as human beings within the one soul. We'll have to see how it works. We're told that he who was Confucius is going to appear in China and to cause a disturbance. And then we're advised that these disturbances may not seem excessive to the soul, but they are frequently appalling when the personality looks on. So these are wonderful contrasts that he's given us. I have attempted to make clear to you the distinction between these two groups, namely mystic and occultist, as the importance of the matter is great when studying meditation. The form used by the two types is entirely different, and when seen clairvoyantly, is very interesting. So DK is giving us the view from within, which before long we will be able to attain for ourselves. Now let's see, I think we've done a couple of pages, and we'll go on here with the mystic form. And then maybe the occult form will follow. Let's see how long it takes before we reach the... not too bad. The occult form. I see. Okay. So just maybe a little bit. The expression, the mystic form, is almost a paradoxical remark for the mystic. For the mystic, if left to himself, eliminates the form altogether. Understood. the hater of the form, the sixth ray, the breaker of stones, you know, one who breaks up concretions. So, interesting that the paradox is noted. He concentrates upon the God within, brooding on that inner center of consciousness. And sometimes I think when we're dealing in our courses with the idea of identify as being, that this is a very mystical approach, very Neptunian approach, dissolving the formal rings past not. He concentrates upon the God within, brooding on that inner center of consciousness until he reaches that second ray realization, naught is but me. It's the isness of the thing that counts. He seeks to link that center, that inner center of consciousness, with other centers, such as his master or some saint, or even with the supreme logos himself. And to mount by the line of life, paying no attention whatever to the environing sheets. I think some of us may recognize our own approach, although Master DK tries to keep us in balance, I dare say. He seeks to link that center with other centers. Such as his master or some saint or, and this is an important one, that he does want to link the inner God with other objects of devotion, the master, some saint, and even with the supreme logos himself. And that is, well, what is the supreme logos? The supreme universal, supreme universal logos, the great life of the solar system. Well, in Vedanta, this seems to happen. In Vedanta and Brahmanism, this kind of linking is attempted. I am that. What is that? Well, it may be non-deific in the normal sense, but it's certainly an ultimate reality. And to mount by the line of life, the group onward moves in life, we're told in one of the rules. Is it rule 6, perhaps? Let's see here. I want to see if I can find that, and then if I find it, I'll make it visible. I think it is rule 6. Yep, here it is. You were told the fifth feeds on the fourth, but then the group merged in the fifth. Be nourished by the sixth and seventh and realize that all the lesser rules are rules in time and space and cannot hold the group it onward moves in life. And so, you know, we're being also told here that there is a mounting by the line of life, paying no attention to the environing sheaths. Look at the R and I, rule 6. Now, this neglect of the environing sheaths, you won't find the occultist neglecting. And the sixth ray mystical types, which in a way have ruled so much of the Piscean Age, have neglected the outer form. He works along the path of fire. Six-ray souls consume the causal body through fire. He works along the line of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Is to him a literal statement of fact and of realized truth. He rises from fire to fire and from graded realizations of the indwelling fire till he touches the fire of the universe. Ooh. Now, sometimes I talk about these things, and sometimes they may be only words compared with the sense one gets from reading the Tibetans' words about these matters. Our God is a consuming fire, the fire of love within our solar system. It's a literal statement of fact. I have a friend who is strongly sixth ray, though finally I think second ray, but he really speaks of God's holy fires as one who has experienced them and their a dramatic effect upon the body. He rises from fire to fire, you know, through ever increasing points of tension. And from graded realizations of the indwelling fire, capital F, he touches the fire of the universe, which is, we might say, like the fire of being itself. The only form that the mystic may be said to use would be a ladder of fire or a cross of fire, by means of which he elevates his consciousness to the desired point. He concentrates on abstractions, on attributes, more than on aspects, and on the life side, more than the concrete. He aspires, he burns, he harmonizes, he loves, and he works through devotion. The only form that the mystic may be said to use would be the ladder of fire or the cross of fire. This is so somehow Martian Neptunian, we might say. Such a powerful sixth ray at work. By means of which he elevates his consciousness to the desired point, he concentrates on abstractions, on attributes, more than on aspects. Although, are we talking about rays of aspect and attribute? Are we? Are we speaking of rays of aspect and attribute? Or are we using term attribute more generally. So he concentrates on abstractions, on attributes more than on aspects, and on the life side more than on the concrete. You know, sometimes when we're given these old commentary stanzas regarding the fifth ray, we're looking for the life behind the form, because the fifth ray tends to emphasize so much the concrete aspect. We're looking for the life behind the form. It looks like the mystic has a natural connection with that life and not so much with the outer form. He aspires, he burns, he harmonizes, he loves, and he works through devotion. He meditates by attempting to eliminate the concrete mind altogether and aspires to leap from the plane of emotions to that of the intuition. Well, I think we get the idea. And, you know, the color red is not only of the first ray. It also can be connected with this aspirational aspect of Mars. So I'm going to use it here to just kind of symbolize the fiery experience of the mystic. He has the faults of his type, dreamy. Now here we're going to look at, this is Neptunian. Visionary, impractical, emotional, and lacking that quality of mind which we call discrimination. He is intuitive, prone to martyrdom and self-sacrifice. He has his difficulties dealing with the concrete world, does he not? Visionary. Must be the Ajna Center is strongly involved. I think at a certain point, there are many planets and rays that work in the Ajna Center, but Neptune will be such a planet with its ray. Six. Impractical, not touching the earth, feeling that earth is something non-sacred. Emotional, yes, and fusing rather than discriminative. Okay, so the mystic fuses rather than discriminates. He is intuitive, prone to martyrdom, and strong self-sacrifice. Before he can achieve and before he can take initiation, he has three things to do. So, obviously, these are going to be somewhat practical things because the mystic is known for his practicality and the sixth ray type is often devoid of common sense, says the Tibetan, and they have to develop that. First, by meditation, to bring his whole nature under rule and to learn to bring the forms and hence to build the forms and hence to learn their value. Maybe some of us we'll understand our tendencies as we read these requirements. Secondly, to develop appreciation of the concrete and to learn clearly the place within the scheme of things, of the various sheaths through which the life he so much loves has to manifest. He has to work at his mental body and bring it to the storehouse of facts. Yes. Bring it to the storehouse of facts before he can proceed much further. So I'll make these a little bigger so we get the idea of what the mystic has to do. And maybe we will recognize in our own life that these are things that we too have to do. I wouldn't be surprised that many of us, I know I can certainly identify here, have been raised or proceeded along the mystic line. Appreciation of the concrete. I find myself ever trying to dissolve the concrete into its non-formal substantiality. So I guess that's a pretty good example. You know, this is speaking to me, and maybe it will speak to you, and you'll find the way you have come up. Now, we'll also look at what the occultists must do. Okay. And thirdly, to learn through the intelligent study of the microcosm, his little spirit matter system, the dual value of the macrocosm. Okay, so analogize to the macrocosm. And, you know, I want to keep these clearly distinct, if possible. These are things the mystic must learn to do. Let's just review a tiny bit here. First, before he can make much further progress, bring his whole nature under rule, and to learn to build the forms, and hence to learn their value. So, needing seventh ray, fifth ray, first ray. Secondly, to develop appreciation for the concrete. And we would say needing fifth ray, and to learn clearly the place within the scheme of things of the various sheaths through which the life he so much loves has to manifest. So, you know, at first, the mystic is unbalanced. He has to work at his mental body and bring it to the storehouse of facts before he can proceed much further. So, you know, both AAB and the Tibetan said one must have a well-stocked mind. And thirdly, to learn through intelligent study of the microcosm of which Master DK provides plenty, his little spirit matter system, the dual value of the macrocosm. Well, he is incorporating the macrocosm within himself as God immanent, and also he's learning about the cosmic situation in which he finds himself embedded. Instead of only knowing the fire that burns, he has to understand the work through the fire that builds, that fuses, and develops form. How clear, how very, very clear, and how this points the way for many of us to achieve greater balance. He has, through meditation, to learn the threefold use of fire. The last sentence is of real importance, and I seek to emphasize it. Threefold use. There are three fires. Are these related to the threefold use of fire? Well, I suppose if we know what fire by friction, solar fire, and electric fire are, we'll understand how, even in our little system, these can be properly dealt with, properly manipulated. So I think that's enough here. We'll go on to the form, the occult form to be used, not just the ascent by fire. There's greater condensation, we might say, when dealing with the cult approach, and form is respected. Okay, so I've brought down our position here, and we finished, apparently. I'll be corrected if I'm incorrect by the communications team. number 151. We've gotten that far, and we'll begin at 151. Program 34, whenever we are able to begin. I have another program coming up, so I'm not sure that I can begin this tonight, but I would like to. And we'll find it to be the opposite, very much, of what was required of the mystic, because we'll be dealing with the occult form in meditation. Let's see here. Yeah, there are all kinds of things that, and some additional specific forms for specific ends. Fascinating and foundational and necessary to be absorbed. So, friends, that's as far as it'll take us for the moment. And lots of love and many blessings to you. And may you absorb this material as fully and as deeply as possible and as expansively as possible. And may it be a foundation for your ever improving service to those whom you are in a position to help, and to think about, you know, helping humanity as a whole. Well, that's a good thing too. Even though it seems like a very big project, every little bit counts. And if we add a good stream of energy, it cannot help but reach somebody we don't even know in any personal sense. So I'll send this out to you as soon as I can, and we will continue. Okay, bye-bye.